Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Johnson.
Hey.
Brian, I just want to say that you look refreshed.
I do feel refreshed.
Do you, actually? Because I was being sarcastic.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
You look great. Have you rested at all since the Microchurch conference?
I have. Why are you so quiet?
Do I sound quiet to the audience? This is live feedback. What do you say?
There we go. I turned you up.
On your end or my end?
On the recording end.
Oh, hello, everyone. My name is Corey. I'm here with Brian, and I'm just, my voice cracked on both of our names. We've been doing a lot of talking in the last week or so. We saw probably a lot of people who are listening to this podcast in person.
We saw probably a lot of people. We saw
a lot of people.
At the Microchurch
probably
conference.
A lot of them who are listening at this moment.
Hey, what was your takeaway? What was like one highlight?
Wow. You know what? Unity is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And I felt like the Microchurch, so for those of you who don't know, Kansas City hosted, not Kansas City Underground, we were part of a lot of people hosting.
Yeah, it was a lot of hosts.
Even though Brian did a lot of work.
So did a lot of other people.
And we hosted a Microchurch conference, and there was over 700 people there. Am I right?
Yeah, when you include the online, it was over 1,000 that were connected over the course of the weekend, and it was I think around 300 different microchurch networks.
That's pretty exciting, man.
So I know that while we focus, like we want to emphasize the disciple making movements that lead to microchurches, and we want to hold the form loosely. That was mentioned over the weekend too. It's like let's not be so married to a word that. Yeah. We miss movements and what Jesus is doing. There was a point in saying, just like the encouragement of over 300 networks.
Yeah.
So Rob Kipp saying, just a reminder, we're past proof of concept here. Mm-hmm. There's not 10 of us anymore. So that was really encouraging.
And there wasn't that feel that people were there to, you know, flex their muscles, justify the things they're doing, try to one-up people, which sometimes can be the flavor, right, in either conferences or just gatherings like that. It was just a really humble, felt very united, collaborated, entrepreneurial, just a lot of really cool things as a bunch of leaders from all over the country and multiple other countries gathered together. It felt kind of this like important place of partnership with different networks that maybe emphasize different things.
Yeah.
But still we hold together like that basic kind of, we're all kind of outside the box people. We're all committed in some way to this form of ecclesiology. And at the same time, we're just they're kind of mission type of people, mm-hmm. just people that are like, we're all about either multiplication or a smaller way. So all of it was just very encouraging. And then there was another gathering after that of about 30 leaders, separate deal that I was connected with, that was also awesome. Yeah. And same flavor, but I'm tired from that.
Yeah.
So that's why you look refreshed. And even though I took the day off yesterday, why do you look more refreshed than me?
I don't know. I really don't. One of the things I was super encouraged about, since you didn't ask, was...
Dude, what was one of your takeaways? What are you encouraged about?
I don't know if it was a takeaway. One of the cool things that was happening or that we prayed about in advance was like divine connections. So we made sure everybody had like a name tag with their city on it. And some of the cool things that were happening were people were like, I ran into so-and-so from my city. Turns out they're like two blocks down from us. Mm. Didn't even know it was happening. And like we found each other. Then Bree texted a whole group that was from LA and was like, hey, meet down here in 10 minutes. And then they all showed up, and they're like, y'all are in the same city doing the same thing. You should know each other. So that kind of stuff was just really exciting to see where the potential for like actual collaboration can happen now that you know someone else is near you doing the same work. So yeah, man, it's just a beautiful big family event.
Plus there was this guy leading worship that was
cute
and sounded
great. Talking about Rob or Alex?
Yes, both of them.
All right.
I do love watching Rob play because he looks like he's an 80s rock band. Yeah.
Oh, he was. So
there you go. That makes sense. Well, hey, that was great friendly banter for 5 minutes.
It was.
And I would love, could, do you have like any kind of summary of like the last couple of weeks that, see, I haven't heard what you and Rob talked about. I can assume some things, but we're talking about within disciple making movements, urban context, globally, there's a bunch of observations from our friends from 248. So we're just still cruising on this longer series. And then there's a series within a series that we're looking at with all of these movements, the importance of having light, agile structures.
Totally. Right?
And so, number 10 is actually build simple and agile structures and tools. I assume, and this is where I'd love for you to discuss this. I assume that a lot of our conversation, at least like it was week one when we talked about it, was kind of big picture from the air, looking down organizationally and network wide in a city, what kind of these simple agile structures and tools could look like. Is that true? And do you remember what you and Rob even talked about? There's a lot that's happened since then.
I do remember what we talked about because AI generated a summary that I could just read for you really quick.
Shockingly and creepily, really, really good summaries.
Corey, we explored the importance of flexible grammar and the need for organizations to be willing to restructure in response to emergent practices.
That sentence alone sounds way smarter than anything that we've
ever totally, said. Yeah. Okay. We talked about the light load leader starfish from Starfish in the Spirit that Rob Lance and Alan worked on together. That one emphasizes the importance of organic systems and circle cells and building agile structures. So circle cell leadership thinking, like it's flatter, it's not hierarchical. We also discussed how the underground is an example of embodying lightweight agile systems. We also talked about the structure starfish. We talked about organizing the underground network in light of like future orientation, continuing to how do you bring more voices to the table while also continuing to maintain sort of that flat structure. And finally, we touched on the postures and skills needed for leaders in decentralized structures, including humility, equality, and co-laboring.
You guys talked about a lot of really good things.
Yeah. I think you need to get just a little closer, like raise it up.
Hello.
Yeah, that was better.
That was better?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm louder than you, and so
I mean,
I'm worried about that.
That's okay.
Okay.
People want to hear your voice.
I'm also tired.
Yeah.
Training for this Ironman, which is your fault.
I mean, technically, you signed up.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, it's so expensive. Man. So now it's like I'm committed.
You are committed.
And I'm like rolling, and now we're about to, it's like game time in terms of training.
It is.
Speaking of
yes,
game time. Go. We're 8 minutes into this podcast and it's game time right now. I just want to state that if I haven't said this yet, that I'm really excited to listen to your and Rob's podcast that you guys did. I think that came out last week,
yeah.
But I haven't listened to it yet. So I'm so excited because that was such a great summary.
It might be really good.
It could. There's a possibility that it's decent. And so, okay. So a lot of that is just good stuff, man.
It's real high level though.
But it's high level.
Yeah.
So we always talk about that kind of picture, that analogy of Google Maps, and where like we push that minus button lots of times because we're looking citywide from the air. Like the same exact conversation in terms of agile structures and tools is true on every level when it comes to reaching a city and multiplication. So now just imagine in your head, you're taking that mouse and you're clicking.
He's clicking with his finger.
See, click, 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 clicking that plus sign.
It'd have been cool if you did kept zooming in.
Have you? Click, 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 click,
click. Oh, that's uncomfortable. I was wrong. It wouldn't have been cool.
You have no idea what we're doing unless you're watching the video, which is you can do that on Spotify or YouTube. Okay, so we just clicked a bunch of times. Hey, Brian, have you ever clicked Google Maps a bunch of times and you're like looking at your house?
Yes.
All of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, that's a trampoline.
Their picture's too old, but yes.
Yeah, but it's like still kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's watching.
So now we're like, we've creepily clicked that plus sign so many times that on the ground, we're having the same conversation. Like, how is it that an everyday person reaching said neighborhood that Google Maps has taken a picture of all the houses? Like,
Or affinity,
which I actually argue is probably more common nowadays.
Totally.
We've had lots and lots of episodes that we talked about that. So when we click all the way down on the ground level, how do we remain agile? How do we remain simple? Yet, how do we have some kind of organization and structure to seemingly totally organic things. So in some ways, this is just a conversation about multiplication on the ground level. In the same way that we say, how do we help foster multiplication on a city level structurally? How do we foster multiplication on the ground level structurally? So, Brian.
You keep asking me questions, but this is the resource that you made.
Well, I created it, but it's like I created it from all the things we've lived into.
That's fair.
I'm just trying to, I want a little banter here, Brian.
Let's go.
I don't want to just talk the whole time.
Okay.
So let's just think in your mind. Okay. And this can be yours. Just put on the average. Hey, I'm just a normal person. Because you're so extraordinary that this is going to be hard. So you don't know if I was being sarcastic, if that was a compliment.
I am fully aware of what you meant by it. Keep going.
No, you're extraordinary. So pretend that you're ordinary and just think, and think about, like, when you think about a microchurch that you've been a part of, a group that you've been a part of, what generally, when you think of how do I, what's a structure or tool that is multiplicative, like how do I multiply that structure that I'm in? Do you have examples in your mind or things that you think, hey, it usually looks like this? You're an ordinary person thinking through this.
The way that multiplication happens or how we send out new leaders?
Totally. Maybe form. Let's think about it in terms of form. Like, where do you see multiplication in terms of that form conversation on the ground?
I think what I've learned from you is new leaders being sent out because they are becoming more and more aware of the particular people that they have a passion for or a place. New discovery groups, because I'm listening and hearing, like, I'm having these spiritual conversations with this person at work. Like, have you invited them to discover Jesus in the scriptures with you? Mm-hmm. Or potentially, because of that new work has happened in a space, like the new form of microchurch emerges in a new space. Am I answering the question?
I mean, yeah, you literally just took the entire podcast. That's how good you are. No, that's how we summed it up into kind of, I think those are three forms. Like, in all honesty, like, even
leaders, groups, and families.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I think if we're going to try to put form to, like, okay, it's agile, it has a thing though that we can, like, help people, like, start
right,
like, in our mind, or helping leaders or helping ordinary people reproduce, those are three forms in a movement ecosystem that creates movement. And I think the conversation in the West is moving away from, or at least needs to, like, just thinking about linear generational growth. And so we've, like, if this applies to you, sweet. If it doesn't, just nerd out here for a minute. Is a lot of times when we think about, even just in missiology, and missiologists are studying the way the gospel moves globally, one of the easiest ways is to just track generational growth. So let's say I'm living with a bunch of people. We begin to start a group, and now we got this microchurch, and then we multiply that. And, you know, you go
one
along.
One
becomes two. And then you multiply another one from the second group, right, in that stream. And then there's one or two that start. And then from the third stream. And then that's how you actually look at generations. And that becomes a great indicator of fruit. And if there's more than just one person doing one thing or whatever.
Potentially health.
Yep. And that's what we're always going towards. We've also on this podcast made the argument many times that that's not how the American culture works. That's not how we, in terms of just the chaotic reality of how we interact with one another, the groups, the amount of groups and affinities that we find ourselves in, how that changes between week to week, or I could look at my neighborhood and identify probably dozens of affinity pockets, dozens of relational networks. And so sometimes it's like so chaotic in the way that we live our lives that thinking about just this linear form of multiplication is just so freaking hard and impossible to wrap our minds around, and probably not sufficient. And thinking about how do we actually see multiplication that reaches a city.
Yeah.
So for us, and we've stolen, actually, ironically, I have learned a lot from David Brudrick and others, part of 248, who did this research. So it's kind of fun to like full circle, say, hey, some of the things we've, the language that we're even seeing on the ground are things that we've actually learned from you all, which you've learned from other places, or, you know, it's just like fun that we're all learning from one another. So I think let's recap on the ground those three things and think about as you're listening what, where you are at in your personal journey of living on mission and making disciples and seeing microchurches emerge. You a practitioner, you doing this, maybe you're a leader and you're listening to this concept. Think, where are you at? And what does multiplication look like for you in your community currently? So first one was, what you mentioned was what?
New leaders.
New leaders. So we, in some of our language, we call this new missionaries or new teams or new disciple makers or new teams of missionaries.
How do you find those people?
Oh, great question.
Do you have like a whole resource below this one on that? Did I just tee you up?
I wouldn't be surprised. Kind of. Like, I do have a little box. So, by the way, we keep referencing a tool that we call What and How of Multiplication. So, if you want to walk people through this, finding the tools on our website?
Yeah, if you go to Missionary. Well, you can find it at Missionary Pathway. Sure. But if you go to kcunderground.org/toolkit, you can sign up for the toolkit. The toolkit is... we populate tools based on the missionary pathway.
Yep.
And now we're kind of adding some other sort of toolboxes like children and family. But each of the five phases has, you know, extraordinary prayer and fasting. There's tools on that. Living like a missionary. There's tools on that. The blessed rhythms. There's podcasts. There's whatever. Gospel planting, church emerges, and multiplication. So this one is the tool we're referencing, the what and the how of multiplication, fits within that fifth phase. Because it's often not a phase we know what to do with, and we don't often have like handholds. This is what this conversation is about. It's like lightweight, agile structures. Like, we got to have actual language that helps us think through this person. I mean, I would answer the question this way, as far as like how you identify new leaders, is like, who's leaning in and is like responding in the same ways that you did early on?
Yeah.
You know, though, like, with the comments of like, there's got to be more, or, hey, do you need help? Or, man, listen to this. This happened this week. This is crazy. You know, the people that have that lean in are the ones that you often want to pay attention to say like, okay, how do I think about helping this person either begin or continue in the missionary pathway in some way? Like helping, not only like when you said locate yourself and where you are in this, like helping others sort of locate where they are in that journey to go.
Yeah.
Man, it sounds like you've got some really strong relationships over here. Like, is Jesus inviting you to do something into that?
Mm, that's right. I feel like if we're going to say one thing that we've leaned hard into in our history with Underground is this one, trying to find people who are like, they're ready for whatever's next. That doesn't mean they're like, have to be the most mature. Mm-hmm. They know the most Bible. But they've got that, their heart is ready to, I want to just join Jesus in what he's doing, right? And yeah, like I think of Luke 10, and Jesus sends out the 70 or the 72, and he sends them out, right? And he says, go and pray, you know, to the Lord of the harvest for more workers. And essentially that idea of like, we got the 70 or 72 missionaries who are kind of already fought, like in Jesus's realm a little bit, and he's like, go. And then he's saying, as they're out in the harvest field, pray to the Lord of the harvest for more workers. So we're actually seeing among the harvest field, we're seeing the workers arise from the harvest field. So I think even in Luke 10, we see the format of finding new missionaries is you're looking for other believers who are like, I want to join Jesus. I'm leaning in. And as you make new disciples from the ground up, they become some of the best missionaries and disciple makers early because we don't have to deprogram them, especially if they're already connected. So I actually have a little story with this. Hey. It's super vague right now, just cause, and this is our own personal world, is that we've had a really cool microchurch in our friend group for the last couple of years. And one of the newest families is a really awesome crew. God's been doing amazing work in their lives and baptized, and it's just been awesome. And then like a couple weeks ago, we're actually gathering at their house, and I was walking and praying. We've discussed potential ideas of multiplication very vaguely, but like it's been part of the conversation. And as I was walking and praying, oh, I'm actually because I can't even see. Am I out of the picture?
No, not completely. Sorry. But keep going. As you're walking and praying.
Because I'm looking at this this resource.
I got you.
So I'm walking and praying, and I was praying about a few families that they're connected with. And so we have this really great time together, family time, meal, some Discover Bible study. And then afterwards, they kind of pulled me aside and they're like, okay, we've got these three families. Mm-hmm. This has been so amazing for us. We want to do the same thing with these three families. So in a 10-minute conversation, we talked about what multiplication could look like. And I had two routes, Brian, two routes that I feel like I could take this family. One was the programmatic. Hey, why don't you join this missionary pathway, right? 7 weeks. It'll help you identify these people, help you identify, how to have spiritual conversations. And then
might be good one day.
It might be good. And there are some that I can think that'd be really good within our group for multiplication because they don't necessarily have those. They don't have the three families in their lives necessarily immediately. I'm not saying their eyes glossed over, but I could tell that wasn't clicking as far as, hey, this is a really good solution. The other was like, hey, why don't you just do what we've been doing? And then next week you lead the DBS in our group and, you know, you just reproduce what we're doing. And they're like, yeah. And so we might go hang out with them. So that's happening soon. But you see those examples of how do we launch that first group, which is new missionaries and new teams. We either need to find believers and we need a way to mobilize them. That's why we have Missionary Pathway. We're always doing that. We're always mobilizing. And then we're also seeing as new followers of Jesus emerge or people are coming to Jesus and they're getting plugged into it. There's often that like we want a part of this, or it's like, hey, we want to do something meaningful in our lives. And so that is a great way. That's the second one, is you're mobilizing people from your already existing groups to go reach their people.
So to ground this in the context of the podcast of Lightweight Agile Structures, you don't have to have a way. It's like we could go here. We could go here. Feels good. Okay, well, we'll go that way. You know, it's like there's no prescribed pathway that has to happen in order for this. I think that sort of is what you're highlighting there. Yeah. It's like you have the freedom. If you're so locked into a way and a thing, you're potentially limiting the creativity of what could happen as you send new leaders and new teams.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So I've got four little bullet points as we're looking to launch new teams or new missionaries of things to look for. So these are practical. Look for the holy discontented ones, those who are itching to live with purpose or to reach out. Okay, so this is for leaders. This is for people in their everyday spaces and micro churches. Look for the discontented ones. The holy discontented ones, not just angry.
Yeah, yeah. Don't just find angry people.
Anger is sometimes hard to work with for a while. So look for those who have a specific heart for a specific cause or group of people. So that comes up a lot in groups. They have a real passion and heart, their heart burns for this cause or this group of people or this injustice. Work with, like, they can be launched and you train disciple making on the way. Look for new followers of Jesus eager to tell their people the good news. Oh man, we don't need to train the crap out of newer followers of Jesus. We got to unleash them to their people and give them permission. I felt like that's a good part. Maybe I should have put that as a bullet point. Just give permission. You can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need me. You don't need this. Like, you can do this. We'll help.
Yeah.
We can meet. We can hang out. Our friends asked us to maybe even come with them once or twice because we knew some of these families. Yeah, yeah. Great. Beautiful. We can do that and then continue to meet afterwards. But like, just give them permission. And the fourth bullet point is look for people from already existing micro churches who share a heart for a new context. So sometimes, and I use this example through the years at Share the Hope, we got all these different Share the Hope gatherings. These are people who've come out of jail and addiction. And then there was like, okay, there's some addiction houses over here in this part of the city. And we have multiple expressions of this group, but we can actually create a new team by getting people from multiple different expressions of Share the Hope, boom, together to go after this group. So that's a strategic way of creating a new team, is that you kind of start with the place or the context, and then you like, okay, who in our pool could make a new team? So that's number one, agile structures of multiplication on the ground, form new teams of new mission and launch new missionaries. Whew, that second one you mentioned.
You're crushing it, man. Dude,
thanks,
it's
Brian.
It's so beautiful.
Man, the first time we did this similar podcast, it was horrible. Yeah. So I feel like we got a little bit more going here. The second thing that you mentioned was what?
New groups. Mm-hmm. So new discovery environments.
So this, I think, is super important because we talk about discovery Bible study. It's a reference. You'll hear us talk about that a lot. We always try to like preface it with, it's not a program. Mm-hmm. It's a way of disciple making. And that is like, we just say it over and over and over again so that we get stuck in this form. But discovery environments, that's why I like to use that phrase. I don't know if we made it
helpful.
Up.
Yeah.
But a discovery environment can look like a lot of different ways. Within a fully functioning, beautiful spiritual family and a gathering, we still do DBS all the time. That's our way of.
I always tell people, discovery Bible study, discovery group.
Yeah.
Or environment.
Yeah.
Tool. Environment.
Totally.
Tool, I can use anywhere.
Yes.
Environment, I'm using the tool, but it's like, it's not within the form of like a fully matured microchurch.
It's so good. And just having the two hands. Yeah.
Man, tool, environment.
It's so good. So I hope that is helpful for you. Whenever you're trying to explain Discovery Bible Study to someone, just think of Brian holding up two hands.
Tool. Environment.
Perfect. The tool is just it's facilitation, it's asking questions, it's reading scripture together, saying what's it say about God, ourselves, how are we going to live it out, you know, who are we going to share, and how are we going to bless people in this way. And you can do that in lots of settings. I just heard a testimony in the 0 hour world, a new one, and it was on the phone. I won't say who it was, but Corey had it like on the phone. It's just a voicemail of the story of someone who'd been walking with someone for about a year. Just a one-on-one DBS and how this person's given their lives to the Lord and wants to be baptized. So it's like you see that journey.
Yeah.
Right. And it's beautiful. And that's not they've been walking in the footsteps of Jesus for this year. Like it's not, I didn't just say this prayer this one time at a, you know, an event or something and then I'm done for, you know, like
right.
They've been doing this. So now they're just going to keep doing it. But she might get plugged in with other believers or a group, you know. So it's that way of disciple making. We've already said you can do that in a big gathering. I've done it in groups where literally we'll have 40 people in a room and someone will read the scripture. We do this kind of stuff in trainings. We do it in larger gatherings all the time, is that we will read scripture. We'll have people break off into groups and then just do BS. And then we'll like go from, hey, what did you guys say about what that says about God? Or what did you guys say? And you kind of facilitate it in a group level. Sweet.
Yep.
Right? You can use the DBS tool in all those settings. But if we're continually launching first disciples, missionaries, teams, who are second starting discovery environments, we're going to begin to see natural multiplication. Does that pop up in our numbers of this is a new microchurch? Not always, right? That's why it's super hard to track a lot of this stuff. But like, we're actually beginning to see people begin to discover Jesus together in a one-on-one, with three people together in a coffee shop. Like we've got stories after story after story within this city of people doing that with people in various settings. So yeah, that's I got some other things of what to look for, but anything to offer there?
Yeah, just real quick. I think the thing that stands out from both of the stories that you told, maybe the highlight for me is like in both of them, there was a significant amount of time that between when something started and when the multiplication or reproduction happened. Why is that important? Because it's lightweight, it's agile. And I wrote, I can just keep going with this and it doesn't have to get heavy. Mm. I can like this student fostered a discovery environment for a year before something happened. Mm. So I can continue to be obedient with Jesus, joining him in the space. And I don't have to hold the weight of I got to make something happen or it has to be on this timetable. I just want to say that to like reduce the pressure too. I think in this conversation of multiplication, it's like, especially in DMM circles, we feel this like viral multiplication and we long for that.
Go, 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 go.
We long for that. Like, I don't want to diminish that. And when the spirit, but it's always the spirit's work. Mm-hmm. So like what I'm hearing is as long as like you can keep doing that thing, and it's not like this heavy burden that you feel, you know, it's like, no, I just keep leading this discovery environment and then in the Spirit's timeline, something happens.
Yeah, man, that's so good. So as you're looking for people, these are three bullet points in the second form of multiplication. Look for spiritually open people in your relational context, willing to discover more about what God says. That's number one. As you're looking to start those discovery environments, look for those willing to obey and live out their I will statements.
Mm-hmm.
So there are sometimes that people are just want a friend. They're not really spiritually open. You can still be friends with them, but just identify that. Like usually if they're living into obedience and this is what God, you know, you can kind of sniff that spiritual hunger out and keep pouring into those that you see are more and more hungry. And look for those with other relational circles. So as you're just thinking strategically, people in your groups, people in your world, if they know a lot of people, those are sometimes ones to lean in more because you just, you know, identify potential super spreaders.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, last form, Brian, because we're about done here. Last form of multiplication, lightweight, on the ground, agile structures are
multiply by launching new microchurches.
Microchurch gatherings. Yeah, like spiritual families, more of like specifically is like actually launching so this most like practically,
which is weird for us to say launching microchurches, but I'm just deep breaths. I know the importance of this language.
But most practically that looks like when a group gets too big, you kind of split.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, the most practical, and that's why you cannot only do that in multiplication.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why that won't always produce either multiplicative, you know, things in the city, but sometimes you just got to realize you got 40 people in a living room. You're not living the rhythms of family in the same way you were when there was 15 or 20. And there is hunger in that. I know that you're kind of passionate about that. And we've seen different microchurch expressions do this in different ways.
Yeah. And on this one too, I think it's important to note seeing new microchurches emerge is the slowest work compared to the former two of sending new leaders into new context or beginning new discovery groups. And this is the one that can hold both of those other ones.
Totally.
And is a space for being encouraged, feeling a sense of belonging when you're doing the hard work to, you know, begin to launch a new context. I was just saying to somebody before we got on this too, as well, it's like even after the microchurch context, I have such a radical commitment to seeing healthy microchurches, seeing healthy families that form and send out. We say it all the time in our trainings too, like run everything through the lens of family.
Yeah.
This one is like, I just challenge your split language where it's like, you're not splitting. You're sending out disciples that are maturing in their faith as like sending out new kids. And you're like, I'm going to go with you. Don't worry. I'm here for you. And we need to come back and talk. I'm here for you. It's the slowest, but we have to be radically committed to the multiplication of new families because, man, we just don't want to create that orphan mentality of like, cool, you're following Jesus now. Good luck with it. I'm going to move on. And we need these spaces for people to like, be healed, be whole, and be sent.
No, you're so right. Yeah. There's a little gray area of this one, you know, because we do talk about, I mean, honestly, the example that I was talking about in our group, it looks probably more like this, is that the family I'm talking about that has three families, they immediately want to launch the same form.
Right, right.
Meaning all they're it's a discovery environment. They're a team that's being sent out to start a discovery environment, but the discovery environment from day one has a family feel.
Yeah.
Multiple families getting together, eating meals together, living life, starting something new, right?
But those pieces of like, in some ways, the pieces of community and mission were already in place. And they're adding the worship component to go back to that ecclesial minimum where it's like the reason they can do that is because they had already established a sense of like, we know these people, they know our stories, and we want to make disciples together of each other, potentially of others. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't be able to do that had they not fostered an environment of friendship and family first.
Exactly. If it was on purpose or not. Yeah. I mean, they just were friends with these people. And you know, that's one form, or that's one way that we see microchurches launching new microchurches in a sense. Well, also, like, we have examples where, like, they've gotten groups have just gotten too big.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just functionally yeah. or geographically, it's right. like, hey, we're going to, some of us yeah. are going to meet up here this time.
And that's so, okay too.
That's totally okay. We always want to just say, don't force that mm-hmm. because you're splitting family, and that's deeply, that causes some serious wounds.
Yeah,
raise your hand if you ever can. Done that. My yeah, bad. Yeah. My bad, yeah. y'all, if you're hearing this. Yeah. You're like, you of all people saying that?
You did that to me.
Yeah, like that. That's when vision drives multiplication and not fruit, you're going to be able to, you're going to see damage mm. like that. And so just say.
That's a real.
Yeah, just be ready to foster that kind of growth. So very practically, that's the things that we're looking at. We're always looking to launch new teams of missionaries. Way that we do that for us personally, we help start new missionary pathways, or we just see it from the ground up within groups. We launch them out to their people. We're always training people to look for spiritually interested people in those worlds and start discovery environments. Sometimes that looks like just a discovery group with a handful of people as you're kind of one-on-one, one-on-two, 2-1-4, whatever it is, like with a smaller group of people. And sometimes you're seeing entire new micro church families emerging. And I've been saying this for like last couple of years, that some of the best fruit that I think we've seen is when people kind of start that with the end in mind from day one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually inviting our family, our groups together, saying, hey, we want to start this new thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to call it a micro church. That might be weird to people, but you know, they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Hey, there's these few families or these few group, this bunch of group of people. Let's start this thing. Let's just start meeting regularly. Let's do this. And I've found that that's actually really fruitful.
Yeah.
Because it's a sticky thing that people can buy into. And when you're starting something together, people are committed to it in a different kind of way. Like they're a part yeah. of like, yeah, let's dream this together.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's a really practical way for the third form, which is the multiply new micro churches.
Man, so good.
Let's go.
Yes.
I thought that was a decent summary of what we're trying to get through. It's kind of complicated. At the same time, you can see that it's chaos and order.
Yeah.
Chaotic, which is one of Brian's favorite words, to be able to see things that have a little bit of intentionality, multiplication, but also really embracing the reality that it's just, you're not gonna be able to control it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, that's, I think we're trying to live into that.
Yeah. So end with this, pray into those, locate yourself and ask Jesus, which one should you be leaning into the most right now?
See ya.